If you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23, beginning at verse 1. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do. For they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide, the tassels on the garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have men call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have only one master, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ. The greatest among you will be your servant, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." As we come to these verses, let's go to God in prayer, shall we? Lord, as we consider these 12 verses, may we not just point our fingers at the Pharisees and think about who they are, but Lord, may we point fingers at ourselves and make sure that we are walking the way that you would have us to walk too. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Matthew 23, chapter we just started, records Jesus' last public sermon. But instead of being a sermon about salvation, or even the principles for how to live a life as a Christian, this sermon is one of condemnation of false teachers, including the spiritual leaders of the day, the scribes or the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. As Jesus said, they do not practice what they preach. The crowds, even Jesus' disciples, were most likely shocked by what Jesus said. These religious leaders were looked at as models of spirituality, of righteousness. From the attitude seen in the Gospels that Earl just reminded us all of, it's easy to forget that not all Pharisees were hypocrites. Actually, in Jesus' day, there were only about 6,000 Pharisees. Although there are many more who were followers, but they weren't quite full members of that august group. The name Pharisee came from a word that means to separate. The Pharisees were separated from Gentiles, from unclean Jews who did not practice the law, and from anyone else who opposed the traditions that governed their lives. There's all the rules and regulations that have been handed down through written and oral traditions. As well as being separate, the Pharisees were also dedicated legalists. Religion to them was the obedience of every detail of the law. Not just God's law, but they're made up, added bits and pieces. They were men who were supremely earnest about their religion. No one would have taken on the task that they did unless they were going to be totally and completely earnest for what they were doing. And among the Pharisees were those who really sought true spiritual religion. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea are two examples that you would know. But honestly, from the Gospels we see that for the most part, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law use their religion to promote themselves and for their own material gain. Things really aren't much different today. Men and women have devised a variety of false religions and cults with their own teachings on how to get to heaven or to paradise or nirvana. There are even groups who pretend to be a form of Christianity and then claim to teach a new and better gospel. But just like the Pharisees, they really teach a way of spiritual death. Acts 4:12 says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Although Jesus spoke to the crowds and his disciples, since they were still in the temple, there would be teachers of the law and Pharisees within hearing of what he said. In his final message, Jesus began by giving some characteristics of false spiritual leaders, including the Pharisees, and then some of true spiritual leaders. When they were first organized, scribes, as King James calls them, teachers of the law, as the NIV calls them, they were responsible for copying, for preserving God's word. But since the exile, there had been no prophets. And so these scribes, these teachers of the law, had inherited the primary spiritual leadership in Israel. In Jesus' day, they were found both as part of the Pharisees and part of the Sadducees, but more often as part of the Pharisees. The teachers of the law were interpretive experts of the Torah. That is, the teachers of the law, or scribes, interpret the Torah, the law. The Pharisees, on the other hand, were the theological experts. They taught how one could carry out God's laws. So using these teachers of the law and the Pharisees as examples, Jesus gave five characteristics of false spiritual leaders. First, he said, they lack God-given authority. They lack God-given authority. Verse 2, if you really want to go back and look at the Greek, really says, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees have seated themselves in Moses' seat. I'll say it again, because it's just a little bit different. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees have seated themselves in Moses' seat. They weren't appointed by God to sit in Moses' seat. They hadn't been elected by the people. They lacked God-given authority. They had simply taken it over. See, to sit in Moses' seat meant to speak with the authority of God, just as Moses had done. And as we see in the Gospels, this is how many scribes and Pharisees saw themselves. This is why they were envious of Jesus. He was a threat to them and to their assumed religious authority. Jesus had been sent by God. They were just false prophets appointed by themselves. Jeremiah wrote about a similar situation way back in Jeremiah chapter 14. Then the Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I have not sent them or appointed them or spoken to them. They are prophesying to you false visions, divinations, idolatries, and delusions of their own minds. Similarly, all false leaders lack divine authority, God's authority, in what they say and what they do. They are self-appointed ministers of human ideas and human traditions. And as they promote their false ideas, they ignore God's truth. Sometimes they distort God's righteousness for their own selfish purposes. They take the place of the Lord's true shepherds, teach lies, false promises, figments of their imaginations, and are often guilty of immoral living themselves. They lack God-given authority. Second, Jesus said they are hypocrites. Since these leaders studied the scriptures, when they taught from God's word, Jesus said that people should obey them. They should listen. The Pharisees may have taught God's truths, but Jesus said they do not practice what they preach. They added to God's truths their own man-made traditions, some of which contradicted God's laws, were worthless, and led people away from God. For the Pharisees, religion consists in obeying numerous rules that govern every detail of their life. We've mentioned several of them throughout the years that they come up with. Although they were very careful to say the right words and follow the right ceremonies, inwardly, inside in their hearts, they did not obey the law. Psalm 51:6 says, God surely desires truth in the inner parts. These false teachers are hypocrites. They preached one thing, they practiced another. They looked good on the outside to man, but their hearts were a totally different matter. Turn back to Matthew 23. Look at verses 25 and 26. Matthew 23, just verse 25 and 26. Jesus said, and again, Matthew 23, verse 25, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will also be clean." They lacked authority. They were hypocrites. And third, they burdened the people. They burdened the people. The teachers of the law, the Pharisees, piled up heavy loads of religious rules, regulations, rituals that were impossible to carry out. And when the people failed to keep their requirements, the leaders added the burden of guilt to everything else that they were carrying. Legalistic religion, false religion, always seeks to make burdens heavier. But Jesus came to lighten the load. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, begin in verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, begin verse 28. Jesus again says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." The Pharisees commanded, but they didn't participate. They are hypocritical dictators, not spiritual leaders. Because of their works, they didn't feel they needed God's grace for themselves, and they didn't want to preach to anyone else for that matter either. God's grace would liberate people from their man-made burdens, from the systems of works to earn their righteousness. Fourth, false teachers, the Pharisees, are pompous. They are pompous. Jesus said, "Everything they do is done for men to see them." They use their religious works to draw attention to themselves, not to glorify God. They flaunted their religiousness, their false righteousness, using religious ornaments. Phylacteries, some of you may not know what they are little tiny leather boxes into which Pharisees would place portions of Scripture. They wore these boxes on their forearms and on their foreheads. They're following verses like Deuteronomy 11:18 that says, "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads." Orthodox Jewish men still wear them today. But to make sure that people would recognize their religiousness, the Pharisees increased the size of their phylacteries. Their boxes are bigger. They made the tassels on the hems of their garments longer and bigger, so that everyone could see them, and everybody would say, "Oh, you are a great religious person." Turn to Numbers chapter 15. Old Testament, Numbers chapter 15. These are the verses that God gave regarding tassels and such. Numbers chapter 15, beginning of verse 37. The Lord said to Moses, again, Numbers 15, verse 37, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, throughout the generations to come, you are to make tassels on the corners of your garments with a blue cord on each tassel. You will have these tassels to look at, and so you'll remember all the commands of the Lord, that you may obey them and not prostitute yourselves by going after the lust of your own hearts and eyes. Then you will remember to obey all my commands, and it will be consecrated to your God." The purpose of the phylacteries, the purpose of the tassels, was to remind people of God and His Word. They are to set them apart as His people. But instead of being outward symbols to draw attention to God, the scribes and the Pharisees enlarged the symbols and used them as a means of calling attention only to themselves. They were pompous. Finally, Jesus said that another characteristic of the Pharisees, teachers of the law, really, of all false teachers, is they lack humility. They lack humility. The Pharisees thought that their position was a mark of greatness. Jesus said they loved the place of honor at banquets, the most important seats in the synagogues. In addition to these seats of honor, they also loved to be greeted in the marketplace and to have men call them rabbi. They thought that titles of honor were a mark of greatness. The title, the word rabbi, means my great one. It was coveted by the religious leaders. These were learned, articulate men. But there is one word missing from the vocabulary, the word humility. They wanted everything for themselves. And after pointing out some of the characteristics of false spiritual leaders, Jesus gave some characteristics of true spiritual leaders. Kind of summarizing the first one up, they avoid conceited titles. They avoid conceited titles. Jesus warned about being called rabbi. See, back in Jesus' day, the ultimate goal of a disciple, of a rabbi, was to become a rabbi himself at the end of his course of study, to be the ultimate authority. But for a follower of Jesus Christ, a disciple of Jesus Christ, things are different. A disciple of Jesus will always and forever be only a disciple, because only Jesus alone is a teacher, the rabbi. The supreme, the only source of divine truth is Jesus Christ and his words. The ultimate authority for Christians, for a Christian community, Tabernacle Baptist Church, is Jesus and his word that's in here. Not some men, not some, what some woman says. Jesus said there's spiritual equality among the children of God. Under the lordship of Jesus Christ, he said, you have only one master. You are all brothers. We are all the same. When Jesus went on to say, do not call anyone on earth father, he was obviously using it in the sense of a spiritual father and not a biological one. Being a spiritual father indicates a superior spiritual position and even suggests that this person is a source of spiritual life. The title of father in the spiritual sense is to be reserved for God and God alone. You have one Father, and he is heaven, Jesus said. He is in heaven, Jesus said. God alone is the source of all spiritual life and all spiritual blessings. That's why we go to him in prayer, because he is the one that answers prayer. He is the one that sends blessings. The third title is forbidden was teacher. When used in the formal sense, teacher could mean guide, instructor, leader, master. In this case, probably the best choice of words would be authority. God has placed spiritual leaders and teachers in the church, but they are not to replace God in the people's lives and minds. God and his word are to be the only authority in a Christian's life. A true spiritual leader directs his people into freedom and a closer relationship with Christ, not into bondage to the leader's ideas and the leader's beliefs. When used incorrectly, titles can place barriers between those in leadership positions and others in the church. And even worse, they can commandeer for the human beings the honor and the glory that belong to God alone. Characteristics of the true spiritual leaders: they avoid conceited titles. Jesus is the supreme and only source of divine truth. God is the only source of spiritual life and blessing. God and his word are to be the only authority in a Christian's life. Jesus concluded his warnings and teachings by reminding the disciples that the greatest among you will be your servant. True greatness is found in serving others, not in forcing others to serve you. Let me show you an example, or might have an example that you probably remember. Turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. John 13, the disciples and Jesus are in the upper room, getting ready to prepare the Lord's table. And you may remember that they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest in John chapter 13. So picking up at verse 2. It says, the evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, that he had come from God and we'll be turning to God. Consider the power, consider who Jesus was. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Now jump down to verse 12. Verse 12 of John 13. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his seat. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them." True spiritual leaders serve others. The teachers of law, the Pharisees, pattern their leadership after the example of worldly leaders, whose primary goal is to extend their own power and authority. Jesus taught, Jesus modeled a different way, the way of a servant, a bond servant. A bond servant willingly serves another, just as Jesus willingly served his Father. The ideal servant lives to care for, to protect, and to make better the lives of those he serves. Unlike the world, a servant, a Christian, must arrange his or her life with the ambition to give himself for the benefit of others. In verse 35, Jesus said, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love, if you sacrificially love one another." You know, it'd be easy to apply today's sermon to those in leadership here at Tabernacle, beginning with the pastor, and then working on down through the diaconate, the trustees, the Christian Education Board, and so on. For that matter, could be applied to those being elected into leadership later on today in our business meeting downstairs. But I think these warnings, these characteristics really apply to all of us. Somewhere, in some way, people look up to you as a leader. Maybe the head of a household. Maybe a leader at work. Maybe their big brother or big sister in the family. We are all showing others what Christians are all about. If Jesus is truly your Lord and your Savior, then he has expectations of you. I guess kind of thinking about this, kind of question to ask yourself, are you like the Pharisees or are you like Jesus Christ? If people could see your heart as well as your words, do you practice what you preach? Do you practice and preach what's in this book? Or are you like the Pharisees? You're a hypocrite. You say one thing, but deep down, you do something else. How about when you're by yourself or somewhere where nobody else knows you? What are you like then? You know, as we study God's Word, it's so easy to amplify or add to His rules, sometimes even innocently. Do you know God's Word well enough that you know when someone has added or subtracted from what God has said? Are you like the Bereans? Back in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, we read that they received the message with great eagerness and then examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Do you listen to me? Do you read? When you listen to someone else preach, are you comparing what we say to what the Bible says? Paul warned in 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." Do you do things to draw people's attention to how religious you are? The Pharisees were good at that. The Pharisees did anything they could to get people to recognize how very religious they were. Do the things that you do draw attention to God or to yourself? Do you require, even demand, like the Pharisees did, respect and honor because of your position or education or something else? Remember, the greatest person on God's sight is not the one with the most degrees or titles or awards or leadership positions. It's the one who serves in genuine humility as a selfless servant. This is, I think, is the main purpose of the 12 verses we read, servanthood. True greatness is not manufactured. It only comes from God as we obey Him and serve Him. If we exalt ourselves, God will humble us. But if we humble ourselves, God will exalt us. In 1 Peter 5, Peter wrote, again, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Unlike the proud and arrogant scribes and Pharisees, the true spiritual leader, really every Christian, works in God's authority. He lives in humility, integrity, and lowly service. Like his master, the Lord Jesus Christ, a Christian should exhibit the heart of a servant who humbles himself and exalts God. What does your life say about who your master really is? Let's pray. Lord, again, it's easy in church to kind of talking to the choir, so to speak, that, Lord, we want to live the life that you called us to be. Lord, we know the scriptures. We know that we should be servants. We should be humble. But Lord, I think we also recognize that the pride that we have in us is continually going against us. Lord, give us wisdom. Give us spiritual sight. That when pride rears its ugly head in our lives, that in your strength we can put it down. And Lord, that we can represent you in humbleness, in love to those around us. Lord, help us to be Christians that pop your buttons. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.